Welcome to the Wellsteading Podcast. This is episode 58. It's December 15th, 2014. I'm your host, John Pugliano. I'm also the founder and money manager at investablewealth.com. In each episode of the Wellsteading Podcast, I try and pass on to you some of the knowledge I've acquired over the nearly 30 years that I've been investing in the stock market and building my net worth. My philosophy is basically wrapped up into what I call the 10 wealth building principles. If you haven't listened to those, you can go back and check out the first 10 episodes of this podcast. That's where I lay out that foundation and I share with you the principles that help me build not only my financial independence, but more importantly, my personal freedom. Having laid those out, then I try and come back every episode, and in one way or another, we cover one of those principles. I try and make it applicable to your own life, whether we're talking about the stock market or whether we're talking about being an entrepreneur or getting education or whatever it is. I don't always specifically go back and say, hey, we're talking about wealth building principle number 5 today. Sometimes I do that, but sometimes I don't. Sometimes I forget to refer you back to the specific principle, but trust me, I'm always thinking about one or more of those with each podcast that we do. Well, today I just wanted to give you a quick update because the markets have been so turbulent. I know many of you are trying to understand what you should do as you close out the 2014 and as you get ready for 2015. As you've heard me state last week, you know, I had been optimistic for the last 7 weeks or so. I was still optimistic early last week, even though there was a great deal of volatility in the stock market. And then that all fell apart by Friday. I not only didn't like what was happening in the indexes and with individual stocks, but more importantly, I was concerned about where the interest rates were going, in particular the 10-year U.S. government treasury. So I pretty much closed out all my positions that I'd been in over the last 7 weeks. Those even included the ones that I just opened last week. As I've mentioned to you many times, I don't love my positions. I don't get dogmatically attached to them. My mind can change as the information changes. Around mid last week, I told you about a position I just opened up in Germany. I gave you several reasons why I thought Germany could be a good play, particularly in comparison to the U.S. market, because Germany seemed to be recovering and it hadn't had the irrational exuberant in their stock market like we've seen in the U.S. They're well off the highs that they even made in the recession. They've never caught up to those. I thought it looked like it had potential. I still today think that it has potential, but I closed my position out last Friday. It wasn't looking good. I sold it at a small loss. The German stock market, the DAX, it continues to be on my watch list. Perhaps when I see the next uptrend, I'll jump into it. I won't know that until the time I actually use my mouse to click that buy button. That's when I'll make the decision. So when I tell you not to get infatuated with your stock or with your particular equity position, I mean that. Remember, don't ever marry a stock, just date it. As to the markets, here's what I want you to look for this week. The Federal Reserve will do its last meeting for the year tomorrow. That's Tuesday, December 16th. They'll hold a press conference on Wednesday. Everyone will be watching the Federal Reserve. We've been in a Federal Reserve, steroid juiced up economy for 6-7 years now. That trend of dependency on the Federal Reserve is probably going to continue. And so everyone will be listening to see what the Federal Reserve says about interest rates in the future or what kind of nuance or how they massage their statement about whether there'll be considerable time before they adjust interest rates or whether they're going to do it immediately or whatever. Bottom line is we know that the Federal Reserve is going to talk out of both sides of their mouth as they always do. They're going to try and say whatever they can to placate the markets. They're going to come out as a snake charmer and play whatever soothsaying song they have to. We know that's what's going to happen. So what we want to watch is Wall Street's reaction to it. We want to see if Wall Street really believes them or if they don't. We'll know that by the actions of the market. If you see a really volatile day Wednesday afternoon, if the markets close at another new low and in very high volume, then you'll pretty much know that, nope, Wall Street doesn't believe them. They're either worried that the Federal Reserve is going to increase interest rates, which could cool off the economy, or they're worried that the Federal Reserve has lost control. Either way, that wouldn't be good for the stock market. Now, on the other hand, if everybody buys into it and we go into a continued collective delusion, then we'll see the markets bounce up, and perhaps that could be a good time to get into the market. From my vantage point where I sit here today in the afternoon of December 15th, my plan is to simply watch what the Federal Reserve does, see the reaction to it. I have no plans at this point of getting in any further, even if we see a bounce. Now, again, my position could change drastically Wednesday immediately after the Federal Reserve meeting. But for right now, I'm just playing it very safe. And the reason I say that is because the markets have been extremely volatile, particularly the last 6-7 trading sessions or so. Today, we saw the S&P 500 break below its 50-day moving average. On Friday, it had closed at its 50-day moving average. Today, it broke down below that. As I always talk about, that's a very key indicator. That's something you want to watch. Normally, we would expect the 50-day moving average to act as support. Will we see that again? I don't know. Today, as I said, the S&P 500 did break below it. It didn't fall drastically below its 50-day moving average, but it did breach it. And then the NASDAQ, which is where we tend to see the more aggressive growth companies, they're sitting today right on their 50-day moving average. Both markets have been, as I mentioned, volatile all last week, very volatile again today. The S&P 500 closed down 63 basis points today. It had intraday fluctuations of nearly 2%. I'm assuming we're going to see that fluctuation continue all week. Again, it depends on what happens with the Federal Reserve meeting. On Tuesday, we may see some traders coming into the market, you know, buying things on the dip in anticipation of the Fed's announcement on Wednesday. They know the Fed's going to come out and just try and placate everybody. So we may see Tuesday being more of a stable day, maybe even an up day. Again, that's if people are trying to buy on the dips and get a bounce out of the Federal Reserve. There's no way of telling. We'll just have to wait and see. That's generally what's been happening for about the last 24 months, and that could lead us into a Santa Claus rally to end out 2014 with a really up year. We'll have to wait and see. I have no way of knowing. Again, this is what I call, when I see turbulence in the market like this, I refer to it as thin ice. When I see thin ice out on the lake, I don't walk on it. I sit back and I observe. I let the markets talk to me, tell me what's going on. I wait until I see a big old fat guy walk out into the ice. And when he walks out and he doesn't fall through, then I know that it's safe for me to get in. I like to play things cautious like that. I may miss an uptrend here and there, but I'd rather do that than jump in and just take a major hit on a downturn. Personally, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we do see a downturn at this point. And again, this is from my vantage point as of today. I just look at how turbulent the markets are. I look at how the NASDAQ is sitting right on its 50-day moving average. I see how the S&P 500 has broken through its 50-day moving average. There isn't much support or much room now between where the S&P sits and its 200-day moving average. I think it's less than a 2% drop that it could go down and hit its 200-day moving average. Again, that would be a very significant move. The reason I say that's significant is prior to October, when the S&P 500 broke below its 200-day moving average, we hadn't really seen that kind of activity for about 2 years. Again, this is a Federal Reserve-induced rally. All the cheap money has helped propel stocks and equities up. As we went through the third round of quantitative easing, we'd see fluctuations in the market, obviously, but pretty much the S&P 500 would either hit its 50-day moving average and bounce up, or it would go a little bit below its 50-day moving average and then, again, bounce back up and continue to make new all-time highs. Well, that all changed back in around mid-October, so back about, you know, I don't know, what is that, 9-10 weeks ago. That's when the gap between the 50-day moving average and the 200-day moving average really narrowed. The S&P not only broke through that 50-day moving average, but over the next 2 weeks or so, it went on to really collapse and fall significantly below its 200-day moving average. That's what we call a change in personality. That's a real red flag. When an index or a stock has been performing one way and it has kind of a predictable pattern and it breaks that pattern, that's a trend that you want to look for. Incidentally, that's about the time that the first cases of Ebola broke out in the U.S. You could probably make a strong case that that's why things fell apart. Either way, we really don't care. We know that over the last 7 weeks, the market eventually did recover. It went on again to make new highs, but things fell apart again about a week ago. The gap between the 200-day and the 50-day moving average on the S&P 500 is even more narrow than it was back in October. And again, that's why I wouldn't be surprised to see the index drop below that. That would occur at around, as far as points in the S&P, that would be about 1945. Like I said, it's not even a 2% drop from where it closed today. There isn't a whole lot of support after that. The next level of support we'd see would probably be right around 1910. And if things really got out of hand, I mean, we could see the lows that we hit back in October. That would take the market all the way down to about 1825. Now, the market closed the year last year, 2013, right around 2050. So if the scenario I'm laying out for you comes to fruition, it's very likely that we could actually, you know, after we saw these ups and downs this year and a lot of appreciation in the stock market, we could actually see the S&P 500 close out flat or even slightly down from where it was at in 2013. How likely is that? I can't predict any odds. Listen, I know from where it is today, it's going to go up, it's going to go down, it's going to stay the same. To me, it looks like it's trending down. Again, watch the Federal Reserve statement on Wednesday. Observe how the market reacts to that. I think that'll be a pretty good indicator of how we close out the year. As I mentioned before, the thing that really has me pessimistic is the overall drop we've seen over the last 10 days or so in interest rate yields, particularly the 10-year treasury. You have to understand that no matter what you may think about the instability of the U.S. government or how we're losing our dominance as the world reserve currency or the world economy, regardless of all that, United States Treasury bonds are still seen by the world as a safe haven, a safe port in a storm, and when the crap hits the fan, everybody goes into United States Treasuries. Now, for real short-term trading, they'll go into like the 3-month treasury bill. For longer-term trading, they'll go into the 10-year treasury. Just from a stability standpoint, I like to look at a chart on the yield of the 10-year treasury. Well, with all the consumer spending that's going on, the increase in jobs, the general enthusiasm of the U.S. consumer right now with lower oil prices. I know lower oil prices are causing jitters for everybody else, but the consumer loves it. Normally, I think you would at least expect to see 10-year treasuries flat or the yield increasing to kind of contract the money supply, because we know with the lower gas prices, consumers are going to have more discretionary income to spend. That would heat up areas of the economy like airline stocks or like, you know, consumer products. But that's not what we're seeing. We're seeing the U.S. Treasury, the 10-year yield, we're seeing it going down over the last 10 days or so. Went down hard last week. When I updated a podcast before, I'd mentioned it went down over 8% last week. It closed down again today, lower than it had been on Friday. What that indicates is that institutional investors, not only in the United States, but globally, it means that they're concerned. It means that they have fears, and they're going into 10-year treasuries because they know it's stable. And we don't know 100% sure why they're doing that. They could be doing it just because there's overall concerns about a global slowdown in the world economies, particularly in the emerging markets. There's also a great deal of concern that there may be default in certain markets like junk bond markets that have a lot of loans tied up in the energy sector with the fall in energy prices. There's also concerns about the energy producing nations, you know, a country like Nigeria. Are they going to default on their loans? Is the Russian ruble going to collapse further and possibly create a monetary crisis because not only of the sanctions against it, but more drastically because of the collapse in oil prices? So these are all real concerns. Those lower interest rates also have an impact on things like the United States dollar. Whenever our interest rate yields go down, that brings the dollar down. So though by default, investors are actually buying more dollars and bringing their currency into the United States via United States treasuries, you would think that that would have a stronger impact on the dollar, but it actually short-term has a negative impact on the dollar because if the yields go down, that puts the net present value of your investment lower if you're in the U.S. dollar. So that's why we're seeing the dollar down. It's not just the U.S. dollar that's being affected. Although gold had a little bit of an upsurge last week, it's back below $1,200 an ounce. You're seeing gold as well as all commodities drop as energy costs decrease. That's going to be a continued phenomenon. If you're interested about my opinion of where I think gold prices could go, if you haven't read it yet, go back to my observations and commentary, my blog post on investablewealth.com. You can see some things I've written about gold there. We're seeing a real disconnect right now in the ratio between gold prices and oil prices. For the last 2 years or so, the ratios have been out of whack with favor to oil prices. What I mean by that is while gold was pretty much stable at $1,200 or $1,300 an ounce, oil prices were extremely high, given the 15-to-1 ratio you would expect to see. Well, now we've seen oil prices collapse and the pendulum swung the other way, where we're still seeing relatively stable gold prices of around $1,200, while oil prices have plunged. So as you look at this anomaly and as you're looking for trends, you always want to look for anomalies and patterns. You want to look at this and say, which one of these commodities is pointing towards true north? Which one of these can we use as our compass? Is gold pointing towards true north and the price should be stable around $1,200, thus meaning that these oil prices have gone too low and they should come back up? Or is it the other way around? Are the lower oil prices pointing in the true direction of where future commodity is going to go? If that's the case, that the momentum is on the side of oil, then what we're going to see is not only falling oil prices, but we're also going to eventually see gold fall apart, and that could go down, you know, to $900 or less. Again, I make the case over at Investable Wealth for some of that. Well, hey, my intent today was to keep this short. I did want to give you a market update. I know many of you are concerned. One final thing I do want to comment on. Several people have asked me about trading short, and that would be particularly using an index that shorts against the market. For example, a popular index fund that shorts against the S&P 500, its ticker symbol is SH. That's SH as in Sierra Hotel. I'm not opposed to using those type strategies. In fact, I oftentimes do. You do have to use it with care. I don't want to go into the nuts and bolts of it in today's episode, but one thing to remember is that those indexes that use options and leverage and when they short things, they can have very large fluctuations because they reset at the end of every day. Again, I can't go into that. What I would say, though, is if you're not familiar with what that means, you shouldn't be investing in it. So although I'm not opposed to shorting the indexes through an ETF like SH, I'm not doing it this week. And it's really because of these two indicators that I told you to watch for this week. We're right now either, you know, with the NASDAQ perhaps bouncing off the 50-day moving average, or the S&P where it's breached through the 50-day, but it hasn't really dropped enough to confirm a hard downtrend. We're more in a uptrend under pressure situation. And then in just 2 days, we know the Federal Reserve is going to come out and try and soothe the market. So that could easily turn things around. For those two reasons, I wouldn't want to be shorting the S&P right now, because by Wednesday afternoon or Thursday morning, we could see a real reversal where the markets just bounce up to more irrational exuberance. So that's why right now I'm keeping my powder dry. I did want to leave you with that market update. Again, watch the Federal Reserve this week. Watch the market's reaction to it. Keep your eye on where the indexes are in relation to their 50-day moving average. And then watch the yield on the 10-year Treasury. In the next episode, when we come back, we'll take a break from talking about the stock market, and I'll answer some listener questions as to how you can make more money as an employee and, you know, as to how you can enhance your job career as an employee. If you've listened to me for any length of time, you know I'm a real big proponent of small business and being an entrepreneur, but that's not always for everybody, nor is it always the right time and season in your life for you to do that. Most people are employees. And so in the next episode, we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about how you can position yourself to get either a better job in 2015 or maybe a raise. As always, if you have questions or concerns or you'd like to get a message to me, you can do that through the website, wealthsteading.com. Until the next episode, this is John Pugliano wishing you the very best of returns.